Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Sister Billy and her sister. Father, we thank you so much for your presence in our midst tonight. Father, we thank you for 2015. We thank you how you have brought us this far. We thank you for the many testimonies. We thank you for the many things, many ways you have revealed yourself to us in our trials, in our tribulations, in the provisions you've made, in the marriages you've kept, Father, in the children you've raised, Father, in many ways that you paid all our bills, in the health that you have maintained, Father, in many things you have restored. Father, we can continue to name our blessings, and we cannot name it all. But we thank you that you have considered us, O God, worthy to live in such a time as this, to represent your kingdom. Father, we thank you for our families that you've kept intact. Father, thank you for the protection you've given us from every disaster and all the turbulence over the nation. Father, we thank you for the many ways, oh God, you're bringing deliverance across the nations. Father, we thank you for the many ways you're revealing yourself, your son Jesus, to many hearts. We thank you for the many that have come to know you in 2015. Father, we thank you for how you have raised up, oh God, the prayer networks and ministries that are even many represented on this line tonight. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people who have waited upon you day and night, especially on this altar of 24/7. We thank you for the willing women, Father. Thank you for how you have preserved and kept that ministry and growing and expounding their call. Father, we thank you for all the pastors represented here and what you're doing with their ministry. Father, we thank you for ASLPN and the various ways you have established this work and you are expounding and strengthening the relationships. Thank you for the favor you have given. Father, we thank you so much for how far you brought us. Father, our eyes are upon you, and we know that you are faithful to take us from faith to faith, from grace to grace, from glory to glory, because that's your desire, that we grow always as we behold you. Father, we commit the rest of this year to you, and we pray that as we transition into 2016, you have already gone before us. You know the future because you are the Alpha and Omega. You know the end from the beginning. Father, we pray that you will align us, O God, to your heart and to your will. You open our eyes to desire greater things, to see greater things, and to walk in a new and mighty levels with you. Father, that we will not be where we were last year, that we will enter a new place, O God, of honoring you, surrendering to you, living a life that is pleasing to you. Father, thank you. Receive all the glory and honor in all that you use us to do and all that you do through us. Thank you so much for everyone on this line. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's just no way to just avoid thanking you so much for your faithfulness, your commitment, and your passion for God, especially in the area of prayer. Every one of us on this line, we know we are members of churches, and it's a proven fact today, especially with those of us that have been in many, many church atmosphere, that churches can be so full, but when you call for prayer, it's amazing the people that show up. Even if it's just for one prayer meeting, more or less to have people praying night and day, sustaining an altar of prayer in your ministries and on this line for this number of years. Only God could give you this grace and this understanding. And so I just continue to be overwhelmed with thanksgiving on your behalf. Thank you so much on behalf of the Willing Women, on behalf of ASLPN, on behalf of the ministries you represent. Thank you. Thank you so much. May God continue to reward you, bless you, establish you, and just take you on new higher ground. And I pray that the things the Lord is teaching us and showing to us will not be limited to just our knowledge, just receiving, but it's the purpose of this is for us to live in it, to walk in it, to experience it. So I pray that these teachings or these understandings will be an experience for you, so that it will be it will be profitable to you and your ministry and who you represent. We thank God for all that God has done this last year. We will send out an email soon, just to kind of share with you a few testimonies of how God is expanding this work through your prayers across the nation, and what God has done through these years of praying. Again, we say thank you so much. As we round up this last Wednesday of the year, with all that is happening in the nation, and who knows what God is keeping us from. But as we round up this Wednesday, I feel to share with you three specific prayer points for us to enter the new year with. And the reason for these three prayer points, we might go deeper into it next year, but I want to just mention them and explain a little bit about them, because I believe that should be our expectation for 2016 by the grace of God. So I will begin I will read the scriptures relating to these three prayer points, and then we'll look at it briefly before we conclude and pray into the new year together. I will read from the book of Exodus, chapter 33. Basically, Exodus 33 here was an amazing experience that Moses had with God. Moses has been in ministry Moses, of course, has been trained now by God for 40 years, and he went back to Egypt after then. So he's been in ministry for quite a while. He says he had some amazing experience with the burning bush, went to Egypt and saw miracles, experienced such a move of God, saw a harvest out of Egypt. So he's been in ministry and he's seen a lot. He's experienced a lot. But one thing with the things of God, no matter how far we go, we have still yet to scrape or to even touch something with God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13 that even all that we'll experience in this world is like looking at a glass dimly until we see him face to face. So there is room. There is room, no matter the experience we have, there is room for us to grow even deeper in the things of God. Amen? So any man that does not desire to go deeper with God is limiting God, you know, to where they are. So look at all the experience Moses have had so far. You'll be wondering, what else? But it is in Exodus 33 that Moses prayed some prayers that took him to another level and revealed God to Israel to another level. And so I pray these three prayer points will help us in 2016, beginning now, to consecrate ourselves this new year as God will lead you. If it's 3 days fast or 7 days, 21 days or 40 days, try to consecrate at least some amount of time and give God the first fruits of your life, the first fruits of 2016. Give it to God. Give God the top of the year as a covenant, as a devotion, as a commitment. We do that every year. So when you do that, let these three prayer points be added to some of the things you will be doing to consecrate the first fruits of the year unto the Lord. to keep you the rest of the year by the grace of God. Exodus 33, I'll read from verse 12. Verse 11. And the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle of the Lord. When he says face to face here, when I read the rest of the verse, you see that he was talking about hearing the voice of God, being in the presence of God, hearing God's voice literally, like audibly, and, you know, experiencing his presence and glory. Verse 12, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Verse 13. Now therefore, this is Moses. Now he started praying. This is his prayer. Prayer point number one. I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. For what reason? That I may know thee. That I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation, this is thy people. First prayer point, here is a man that has lived 40 years totally being purified by God in the wilderness, and then now being commissioned to serve. And he's been serving God in Egypt, and now he's brought the people out. This is a man that have seen the Red Sea part. And this is a man that is bringing the people through, and then God called him up to the mountain. He's there, experienced this fire and this furnace, and then broke because of anger. And now this is his, after this, he's now experiencing God in the tabernacle. And here he's saying, why will he be asking God at this point? If I have found favor in thy sight, show me thy way. Show me thy way, that I may know thee. You see, that's prayer point number one. Talking about, show me your way, that I may know you. You know, so meaning that there are levels that this man is beginning to realize, I need to know this God more, you know. I need to know that I may serve you, I may please you, that I may know thee. Again, in regards to this first prayer point, it's amazing that even Paul, after many years in the ministry and after some encounter, was writing a letter to the Philippian church. And he told them, he says, that he wants to know God. He wants to know Jesus, not only in the fellowship of his suffering, but also in the power of his resurrection. He says that I may know him, that I may know him. You know, he said, I have not yet apprehended, but I want to know him. Again, here's a man that has been in ministry, seen a lot. He's saying, I want to know this God at this depths, at this level. And then when Jesus came, after much of his ministry, and the people were still asking him, who are you, and all these things, Jesus in one place in John says, John 14, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man can come to the Father except by me. I am the way. You know, again, he talks about the way. But when they were still wondering, what is this way? Jesus went further to explain. He says, the way is narrow. This way I'm talking about is narrow. That leads to life. And that's a very big statement, because it says there's another way, you know, but that is broad. But the way that I represent, the way that I represent is narrow, that leads to life. And very few find it. So there's a reason why Moses is asking for this prayer. You show me your ways. And later in this the scriptures, even David was saying that Moses, in Psalms, says Moses knew the way of God, but the children of Israel knew the hands of God. So there's a big difference between the provisions of God, the miracles, the signs and wonders, than to know his way. Because Jesus says, no man can come to the Father except through this way. There's a deeper work to go. So these are just to elaborate on why this man, after much experience, is saying, God, I really need to know your way. I need to know your way that I might know you. Okay, let's go to prayer point number 2. Then, now therefore, verse 13. He started praying again. He says, now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight. He says, show me thy way that I may know you. That's prayer point number 1. And then, verse 14. And he said, that's the Lord now is saying, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give the rest. God was responding, said, my presence will go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And then, at verse 15, and he said unto him, this is Moses now saying, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up thence. Don't carry us there. Now, that's second prayer point number 2. And here's the reason why it says his presence must go with them. It says, verse 16, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, we be distinguished, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. So prayer point number 1, Moses is saying, God, I must know your way, that I might know thee. Then prayer point number 2, God says, okay, I'll go with you. My presence will go to you. Moses says, okay, your presence, if your presence don't go with us, don't take us any further. Your presence must go with us. So he's praying, God, your presence must go with me, because that's the only thing that distinguishes us from the rest of the nations, your presence. Now, the presence of the Lord, if you read the previous verse from chapter 13, he talks about the tabernacle. First of all, when they came out of Egypt, an angel was going with them, cloud by day and fire by night. But later, after Moses came from the mountain, God gave him this recipe for how he can be with them. He can go with them. He told him to build a tabernacle. And then he built this, what they call in the Holy of Holies, there was this cherubims and seraphims, the Ark of the Covenant. That's where the presence of God, that's the presence of God, the glory of God will dwell. But the Ark of the Covenant, the tent, represented the presence of God. So later in the year, we'll look at the difference. He says, show me thy way so that I might know thee. And then the next prayer point, I want your presence to go with us. If it doesn't go with us, we're not going. So the Ark of the Covenant, the tent, represents God saying, my presence will go with you. I will go with you. I will stay in that tent. I will go with you. The presence of God. See, the presence of God is like, for example, we're talking on the phone right now, and we are hearing each other, we're communicating. But it's different from when you're physically here. I see you are talking with that. There's a difference between your presence, your physical presence. Now, the next prayer point takes it. Presence means your hands, your provision, your signs and wonders, and all this stuff. But very soon you see the next prayer point is deeper than the presence. Just me being there with you, me going with you. So after that the people will know your presence, your ark, your glory means you're with us, your hand is with us, your presence. Now, the next prayer point, the third prayer point, and verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, Moses was saying this, I beseech thee, his prayer, show me thy glory. show me thy glory. And he said, and God answered, says, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou cannot see my face. That's why I said it before. Thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see my face and live. When in verse 11, when he says, and the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, he was talking about Moses was hearing his voice. He was in God's presence, but here he differentiated it. He could not see literally his face as a human being, but he was in his presence hearing his voice, just like we're talking now. And the Lord says, thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see my face and live. Verse 21, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hands while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Then chapter 34, that's where now God told Moses to come back with a broken, to hew some stones and come back to the top of the mountain, and then he will visit him there. So Moses went up to the mountain, again, Elen the Mount Sinai. And let's go to verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercies for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and the fourth generation. Verse 8, and Moses made haste and bowed his head towards the earth and worshipped. And worshipped. Let's stop there. This is the only scripture all through the life of Moses, all the way from Exodus to this place, that the word worship was used describing the awe and the splendor of the glory of God that Moses experienced. Moses worshipped, bowed and worshipped God when he experienced the glory of the Lord. Now, these three prayer points. One is, the only way to walk in the will of God is to know his ways. Because God says, my ways are high than the ways of man. As far as the earth is from the heavens, you know, that's how far my ways and my thoughts. So the ways of God are impossible for human beings to comprehend. So whenever God gives people a calling or calls them into a destiny, God wants to take them to higher grounds, like Joseph, like Abraham, like some of these great men that God used. They did not understand what was happening to them and why things were going the way they were going. They didn't understand the ways of God. The cross, the mystery of the cross. You know, the disciples of Jesus didn't understand why Jesus had to die and be raised again. Why not be king and just rule over Israel? Let's just sit on your right hand and just... Why do you have to go to the cross and die? And we're all confused. The ways of God. Jesus says there is no other way. You know, so why does it have to be through the cross? You know, so the ways of God are very deep. And for you to really walk with him, for you to go to the places God wants to take us, we have to walk in his ways, and it's by faith. So Moses, after so much miracle, was experiencing God in a way that he said, I don't really know you. Can you just show me your way that I may know you? After this much experience. So that's why it's important to pray that prayer, and God will start breaking mindsets we have to take us to new realms of experience. Now, the second prayer point, like you said, Jesus says, I'm the way. Sorry, the first prayer point, can see why Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth and the life. The way is narrow, so that's a mystery there. So we'll be praying for the way, for God to reveal his ways to us, like you did to Moses. Give us understanding, and that we might know him. We might really know him, like Paul says, know him. Then the second prayer point talks about his presence. God says, my presence will go with you, meaning I will dwell in the tent, the ark will be there, and I'll go with you. Now, just to will distinguish us from other nations. The ark of the covenant, the tent, is wonderful. That's God says, that will go with you. Why? Meaning, if the tent goes with them, the ark goes with them, God will fight their battles. God will provide for them. God will defend them. They will experience the hand of God. God will show them the way to go in the wilderness. God will guide them, be clad by day and cloud by night, fire by night. That is God's presence going with them. Amen. But the presence of God is wonderful. But now, Moses went further and says, thank God that your presence will go with us. But I want you now to show me your glory. Show me your glory. Now, he's been in this cloud the first time. He's experienced cloud by day. He's, you know, but what is he asking for? The glory? What is the glory? So, to help us look at this, these two different prayer points, presence and glory. The presence of God in just for today until we get into the new year and go deeper is the ark, the tent sitting there with them, showing them the way, fighting their battles, winning, and God's angels working on their behalf. But when Moses says, show me your glory, and God says, okay, you will not see my face, but I'm going to take you behind a cliff. I'm going to hide, and then I'm going to show you some aspect of my glory, but not everything. And he started naming the characters of God, the fruit, the characteristics of God. When you're talking about, that's God started revealing these things to him. He started seeing them. When he saw the character of God, meaning God's personality, that's his glory. That's the first time Moses hid himself, covered his face on the ground, and started worshiping God. Do you know it was after this experience of Moses seeing the glory, meaning experiencing the manifestation of God's character, when Moses came down from this mountain, the Bible says, if you read further, it says he did not even know that his countenance have changed. It says the children of Israel were running from him because his face was glowing like a bulb. So he had to go find a veil and cover his face. And then he will cover his face and talk to the people of the children of Israel. This never happened all the way from burning bush, all the way through all the miracles in Egypt, all the way at the first mountain. This happened only after God revealed his character to him, his glory. So that's where Moses' face was changed. And then Paul, in 2 Corinthians 3, started explaining. He says, if in the Old Testament that Moses had an experience of the glory of God that changed his countenance, and that was under the law, say, how much more that which Christ has done, the ministry of life, how much more that when we behold him, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. We'll get to all that next year. But the point is just to separate the presence from the glory. The presence represents, you know, somebody being in your presence, somebody giving you, they can give you gifts, they can fight for you, they can defend you, but you don't know their character. You don't know their heart. They cannot really trust you with the secrets of your heart. They cannot really be open to you, but they can bless you. They are there in their presence. They can be there. Just like the two sons of the parable Jesus gave about two sons. There are two sons in their father's house. One was going to work every day. He didn't even know his father's heart. The other one later said, I need my inheritance. Took what the father gave to him, went away and rioted. He didn't know his father's heart until he came back. The father can't even show them his heart. So, the ways of God, we need to really pray, because a lot of people have backslidden. A lot of people get deceived and totally confused sometimes because of lack of understanding of the ways of God, and because they don't really know Him. So we need to pray for that, especially as we enter 2016, so that we will know Him because we understand His ways. And then His presence. We want the presence of God to distinguish us. In other words, we want people to experience the God of miracle that we serve, the God who fights our battle, the God who meets our need, the God who reveals Himself, that people really know this man is a servant of God, this woman is a child of God. You know, the God who answers prayer. When we pray, prayers are answered. What differentiates us from other people that we pray and our prayers answered? We you know, all these things that represents that God is with us, Emmanuel. But then the next prayer point is the glory of God. You know, the children of God, they saw the hand of God, they saw the miracle of God, but many of them, their hearts were not changed. You know why? Because the presence of God brings the blessings, the goodness, everything. But for your heart to be totally changed, for you to be transformed, you have to experience the glory of God. So for the Old Testament, here's how God separated presence from glory. The tabernacle had three levels. There is the outer court where every child of Israel experiences. Everybody that is a child of Israel, they experience, they know that the tent is there. God's presence is with them. God protects them. God feeds them with manna. God keeps them. God gave them food. God fights their battles. They are all God's children. Every one of them experience the outer court, which is a form of salvation and their worship. But then there is those who go a little bit further, called the holy place. That's an experience. But then in the Old Testament, just to show you using the tabernacle, in the Old Testament, only the high priest, after he has substituted the killing, the sacrifice of a bull on his behalf, can take the blood of that bull and incense to go into the Holy of Holies to see the glory of God and to experience the glory of God and to hear the voice of God. So that's once a year. So that's the difference. All of them experience the cloud by day and over the tent, and they all are on the outer court. They are all Israel. God defends them. But only the high priest experienced the glory in the Old Testament. And a bull has to substitute for his death to be able to see that. So in the New Testament, that's the whole reason Jesus died. That's the ultimate. Jesus came, one, to take care of the sin on the outer court, to bring us back as God's children, you know, the sacrifice of our sin. Then He calls us to bring deliverance to us, you know, from our soulish bondages, to set us free from our soulish captivity and stuff, and to set us free to the extent where we all know that we are called to serve God and to do His will while we live in this world. That's what we're born again to do, to serve the purpose of the kingdom. But then, the ultimate reason He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, is finally to bring us into the presence of the Father. Paul says we're seated in the heavenly places in Christ. Is to take us beyond worrying about sin, worrying about material things, worrying about our soulish bondage, being set free from anger, frustration, malice, jealousy, all these things that we, baggages we carry. After He set us free, and now we can serve the kingdom, but the ultimate is beyond all this stuff, is to restore us to the heart of the Father. For where we can truly say God is our Father, not by words, but by experience, being in His presence and experience His glory. And that's where we are changed. Paul says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when we start having this experience, he says that's when we are changed from glory to glory into the very image of Christ, or the very image of the fullness of sonship as a child of God. This place of transformation or transfiguration,
where we really start experiencing the glory of God is the place where when we start really experiencing this, my brothers and sisters, it becomes where you now really start finding rest. Because whether you have money, you find that money is no more your problem. It's just an external thing. When you start having, no matter what you're going through, when you get to this place, none of those things takes away your peace or takes away your joy. Because now you have really found the exact purpose for which you were lost was a restoration to the Father's heart. And nothing is the Father's heart, but is the glory of God. And that's a wonderful thing to experience. And that's why Moses, after many years in ministry, was saying, God, I don't know you. I don't know you. I really need to know your ways. And then as God was, you see, this discussion is still experienced. As he was experiencing this, God said, okay, all right, my presence will. It's okay, if your presence don't go with me, that's a given. I'm not going anywhere at this point in my life. And then he says, but I need to know you. I need to know your character. I need to have it. I need to experience it. And that's the glory of God. And God allowed Moses to see it. And in the physical, Moses was transfigured as a type and shadow of the old covenant, pointing towards Christ. So, again, you can see, time will not permit me to read it, but you all know about Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah, if you read Isaiah chapter 1, chapter 2, you will see these prophetic men that God has called, commissioned from chapter 3. I mean, just God just baptizing this man with a word, giving him wonderful, powerful word. This man despised sin, despised the idolatry of Israel. He was so on fire. He knew God. He was just, but by the time we got to Isaiah chapter 5, he's been serving God. But somehow, for him to enter a new realm of ministry, another level of boldness where he cannot compromise the word of God. Whether people believe it or not, he's going to speak it. Whether people think he's God or not, if he hears from God, where he will lose completely the face of man, the fear of man, where he will speak God's word without respect of person. He had to experience a new level. And in Isaiah chapter 6, for God to take him to that place where he has no more fear of man, but the fear of God, to the level where he will not compromise anything he hears, even at the cost of his life, he had to see the glory of God. So in Isaiah chapter 6, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each of them have six wings. With twine he covered his face, and with twine he covered his feet, and with twine he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hands, which he has taken from the tongues of the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here I am, send me. And God started telling him this level of assignment. Before he can enter into it, he had to see the glory of God, because this time his face was going to be like a flint, because he's going to be dealing with people with a stubborn and a stiff-necked heart, and he will not compromise. So, you see, here Isaiah, being in ministry, experienced a place of the glory of God, where the Bible says there were things in his life that was purged by fresh fire from the altar of the glory of God. For this is a man being ministered, didn't know there were things in his life that needed to be purged. And God purged it. And he had to, this is Old Testament, he saw the glory of God, the throne room of God. after this experience, Isaiah entered another level of speaking on behalf of God that shook Israel. He started seeing visions and revelations like he's never seen before. That after this, in Isaiah chapter 9, God showed him about the birth of Christ will come through a virgin. He was showing him things that nations and nations, destinies of nations, till today, the prophecy of Isaiah still holds till today, that will guide the destiny of nations because of this level of glory. So my brothers and sisters, these are Old Testament. Ezekiel saw the glory of God. These are Old Testament. And when Jesus came to die, God himself, Paul says, all these experiences Moses had was under the law. How much more will the glory of the new covenant be? So my prayer as we enter 2016, my brothers and sisters, let us contend for the reason Jesus came to die. Not just for us to be born again, not just for us to be saved from our sin and delivered from the entanglements of this world that we think is so much, but God is calling us to experience his glory here so that we can truly understand what it means that God is love, and in him there is, and it's light, and in him there's no darkness at all. So these are some higher levels that God is calling us, but it comes with prayer. Let's pray these three prayers. Among other things we're going to be praying, let us ask God more for his heart, which is his presence and his glory and his way. And then let's watch God also provide his hands with it. Amen. So I just want to encourage you as we enter the 2016, there's more to God. There is more that we can experience. There is more purification that we need, cleansing, purging, and to perfect and clarify and just cause us to experience what other generations not only have experienced, but God has more for us in this hour. Amen. So I pray that you will have a wonderful transition into the new year, and that these prayer points will be so settled in your heart, and you pray it with expectation, with faith. If these people in the Old Testament can be granted access, how much more Jesus has made for us. God will honor your desire for more of him and less of us. Amen. Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity of using the change of a year as a point of contact, Father, for us to desire a new place in you. Father, as we're changing from 2015 to 2016, Father, we pray that we'll use this change of date as a point of another way to recommit our expectations from you, rededicate our lives on this altar. Father, like you did with Isaiah, you caused him to enter a new change by revealing a place in you he's never known, that caused him to step into a place of ministry, a new place of assignment. Father, the things that are before us, oh God, the darkness, the confusion, the rebellion, and the wickedness, Father, we must see your glory. We must see places in you that will cause us, oh God, to set our face like flint, that will cause us to hear from you and without respect of person declare what you're saying. Father, that will cause us, oh God, to serve you in a manner that is worthy of your glory, that is worthy, oh God, of giving our lives for you without thinking it's a sacrifice. Help us to really see, experience heaven while we live here, that this earthly opposition to our obedience to you will lose its strength. Help us, Father, to be willing to serve you where our life is no more a sacrifice because it belongs to you, but it's a pleasure to serve you at the cost of everything. Only if we see your glory will this become a reality. So do it for this, your people that are so, so desperate for you, committed to you, hungry for you. Do it for us, oh God. Reveal, show us your way that we've never known before, that we might know you deeper. And Father, let your presence be with each and every one of us in a greater measure that we've ever known. as we enter this year. And Father, we want to live and experience your glory, and we go from glory to glory as we behold you. Thank you so much. Go with us into the new year. Give us the grace to consecrate our lives, oh God, and give you the first fruits of this year. Father, we lift our hands and we say, thank you for 2015. We are so grateful, but we give ourselves to more of what you desire to do in 2016. In Jesus' name, amen.